Jezebel. When you hear that word, that name, Jezebel, does the hair on the back of your neck rise up? It seems to be unanimous. Does your stomach begin to crawl? Do you fear danger, trouble? Do you feel disgust? For me, saying Jezebel aloud in church seems almost unholy. No question, Jezebel, the word is loaded with negative connotations, such as promiscuous, deceitful, seductive, shameful, even deadly. And yet, Jezebel is a word that's central to God's complaint against the church in Thyatira and his message to them and to us. Hear now Revelations 2, beginning with verse 18. I urge you to listen for the Spirit speaking to the church. I know your works, your love, faith, service, and patient endurance. I know that your last works are greater than the first, but I have this against you. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet and is teaching and beguiling my servants to practice fornication and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her fornication. It's going to be that kind of a morning. I like that. I think I'm in a Pentecostal church. Beware, God says, beware, I am throwing her on a bed, and those who commit adultery with her I am throwing into great distress, unless they repent of her doings. And I will strike her children dead. And all the churches will know that I am the one who searches minds and hearts and will give to each of you as your works deserve. But to the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast to what you have until I come. To everyone who conquers and continues to do the works to the end, I will give authority over the nations, to rule them with an iron rod, as when clay pots are shattered, even as I also received authority from my Father. To the one who conquers, I will also give the morning star. Let anyone who has ears listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. May God add a blessing to our hearing as we seek now to apply his word to our lives. So after God praises the church, the Christians in Thyatira, for their love, faith, service, and patient endurance, even adding that they are making progress, that their most recent works are even greater than what they had done earlier. God's complaint then is swift, detailed, and strong. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet and is teaching and beguiling my servants to practice fornication and to eat food sacrificed to gods, to idols. In essence, God's complaint is that some of the Christians in Thyatira are coming under the unhealthy influence of a woman who claims to be a prophet, but is not. Her name was probably not actually Jezebel, but identifying her, calling her Jezebel, would immediately communicate to the Christians in Thyatira her true nature and destructive intentions. Surely they had heard the story of Jezebel from the Old Testament, and they were familiar with her evil ways. And I don't know how familiar we might be, perhaps not as familiar as they were. So just a quick review. According to the Book of Kings, King Ahab, who ruled the northern part of Israel for a while, struck a deal with the ruler of Phoenicia to go into partnership economically and defensively, Israel and Phoenicia. And in the process of sealing the deal, King Ahab married the ruler of Phoenicia's daughter, Jezebel. They made their home in Israel, and the problems were almost immediate. You see, Jezebel, now queen of Israel, worshipped pagan gods and incited King Ahab to abandon the God of Israel. The king, along with many other Israelites, were blindsided by her beauty and allowed themselves to be led astray into her relentless web of lies, deceit, and destruction. In her mission to get what she wanted and to wield her power, she persecuted hundreds of Christians, prophets of God, and trumped up charges against innocent people, resulting in many deaths. She had many run-ins with the prophet Elijah, who foretold her destruction as he fled for his own life. And finally, after much mayhem, the death of Jezebel happened as Elijah had predicted. She was thrown from a palace window by those closest to her, left to die alone on the street and dismembered by stray dogs. So, the name, the infamous name Jezebel, was established for all time. So let's return to the Church of Thyatira, to those Christians struggling, and on to us today. Now, before Thyatira was its own city, it was part of Pergamum. And the problem that the church in Pergamum was having, that Cody talked about last week, is very similar to what was happening in Thyatira. Both churches were coming under the influence of idols and false teachings. The church in Thyatira was a younger church than that in Pergamon. And what was interesting about this city is it was the hub of many excellent trade guilds, guilds for potters and tanners, bronze workers, and those who dyed cloth. And interestingly, it may be that the Thyatiran woman, known as Lydia, was a Christian and supporter of Paul's ministry, who may have been instrumental in bringing the good news to the city of Thyatira. She was a major distributor of the purple cloth through which Thyatira was famous. About these trade guilds, they were very strong and had quite an influence over all the people who lived in Thyatira. Each guild had its own patron deity, feast, and seasonal festivities. If you were a tradesman or a woman, you had a hard time economically and socially, if you didn't belong to the right trade guild. So you can imagine how easy it would be in that environment to be pressured into doing what was required to be accepted to the right group. But reportedly, Lydia was a faithful woman who apparently stood against being led astray, because the Bible tells us that she was known for her true worship of the God of Abraham and hosted many visiting missionaries. Quite the contrast to Jezebel. Lydia kept herself committed to the truth, but how about us? How susceptible are we to false teachings and to the Jezebels of the 21st century? How do we stay on track and keep ourselves from being swayed by media marketing, materialism, and other gods? When so much presses against us, clamoring for our attention, pulling us in the direction of their own agendas, how do we stay on track? Do we continue to mature in faith? Or do we rest on our laurels? After all, some of us are of a certain age. Or do we continue growing without end into what is called, as you heard it in Trey's reading, the full stature of Christ? And I'll talk a little more about that. There is another scripture that talks about false prophets. Trey read it in Ephesians. Paul encourages to no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning of people like Jezebel in their deceitful scheming. Instead, Paul urges us to become mature and attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, and to build ourselves up in love. So perhaps the way to avoid being led astray by those who would deceive us is to grow up and to never stop growing up. Since we just celebrated a wonderful Youth Sunday last week, let's consider, for example, peer pressure. Why is peer pressure so powerful and dangerous to our youth? Well, one of the reasons is because the minds of our teenagers have not yet matured. They have not yet matured into a solid sense of who they are. And research shows us that peer pressure can indeed have quite a powerful effect on behavior. Clearly, it can lead to behavioral problems. We see it all too frequently. However, the research also shows us that peer pressure is less effective in altering the values instilled in teens by their parents, teachers, and ministers. And it is the values instilled in teens that can help them know who they are as they grow into their full stature. And then, pressed into doing something later in life, they can now choose to avoid those things because they know inside, that's not who I am. Just as teens are in the state of maturing, forming, establishing their identity, the truth is maturity is a lifelong process for all of us. Unfortunately, the same can be said for immaturity. Immaturity causes us to live from the outside in. Maturity, on the other hand, helps us to live from the inside out, from who we are to what we do. But when we live from the outside in, we are more susceptible to being buffeted about by whatever is in the news, on talk shows, in social media. Our lives and our alliances are at the whims of whatever is happening out there. Might the immaturity at whatever age be more or even most susceptible to the Jezebels of the world? Here's how Ephesians describes immaturity. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. Now, teens don't have a monopoly on immaturity, nor adults on maturity. You knew where I was going on that. We all know those youth who are more mature than some of the adults we know. And we all know adults who are more immature than some adolescents. So what keeps us on track in our spiritual journey is our continuing to mature, growing into the one who names us and claims us. Again, as Paul says, speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way, not just those that are comfortable, but in every way grow up into him who is the head, into Christ. For us, I believe that growing into the likeness of Christ means knowing the purpose for which God created us and intentionally growing and living and ministering out of that purpose. Growing to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. Maturing into the measure of the full stature of Christ means living your life as God made you to be. Growing into the fullness of Christ means you're fulfilling the purpose for which God made you. Now, we as a church are about to embark on a very important journey together to help us answer the question, for what purpose did God make First Pres Littleton? What will it mean for us to grow into the full stature of Christ here? What an exciting prospect. And I hope that you have all marked your calendars, and if you haven't, you will whip as soon as you leave. Mark your calendars for August 27th. Come, because that is when our journey begins. For what purpose did God make me? For what purpose did God make each of you? Am I intentionally growing into that purpose? Are you? When we live up to and out of who God made us to be, we will be able to stay on track and be less likely to be led astray, willingly or not, by the Jezebels of the world. Now, the church in Thyatira was a young church when God spoke to it. First Presbyterian Church of Littleton, our church has been a church for more than 130 years. Nevertheless, God's message to us is the same as it was to the church in Thyatira. Continue to grow up into the church that I made you to be. Know the purpose I created you for and be intentional about living out of that purpose. Amen.